It's so good to be here again with all of you. Well, last week was Easter, and the message that we take away from Easter, I think, can serve us throughout the year. The message of overcoming, of rising up, of new life, all of that. It's beautiful, and the longer we can hold on to it and live into that, the better lives we'll have. As we imagine what that would look like. Another thing that came out of the Easter time is what Jesus said during Holy Week. Now, Holy Week, as you know, was that week between Palm Sunday and Easter, and Jesus was going around doing works and teaching and preaching and healing and all of that, and he answered a question. The Pharisees, I think, asked him, trying to throw him off. The question was, what is the greatest commandment? And his answer was, and I'm paraphrasing, is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And a second is like it. You should love everyone as I have loved you. Love everyone. That is a big order. How do we do that? How do we love everyone? I saw a phrase this past week, I think it was. I knew that the topic for the month was love, and that probably helped. I love reading. I love words. I love phrases. Sometimes, the way things are put together gets my attention. The phrase I saw this week that got my attention was made for love. And it just stopped me in my tracks. What is made for love? It's easy when love openly, they give love in their own way. So it's easy to think about loving everybody. When you think of made for love and you think of a baby. But what about all the other people? We don't feel, who doesn't see that picture and just go, But there are lots, I'm sure we can find lots and lots of evidence about lots and lots of people that would make us think that they're not made for love. A word that came to me as I was thinking about this, when the not made for love was unlovable. Certainly, when we think about people like Adolf Hitler, they're the real obvious ones that how do you love them? How do you do that? Jeffrey Dahmer was always one that just, still makes me cringe when I think about the things that he did. People can do hideous and do hideous, horrible things to each other. The folks that are greedy to the point where they'll do anything and everything at the expense of anybody, pretty unlovable. I might include, and this is as political as I'll get, I might include some politicians in that unlovable basket. Because they do some things that I'm not real crazy about either. Unlovable to me is like when you step back, when you step away, you don't want to be in that person's presence or even really hear about them, know about them, because it just makes you want to go, ooh. That's they're not made for love. They are unlovable. That's on the big scale. On a more day-to-day personal level, we probably have a number of people that we know that we might call unlovable. People who are rude, cut us off in traffic, say snarky things to us, but still cuts. It's just like sarcasm. And there are people that sometimes we're that person. I catch myself sometimes thinking, why did I say that? A little tired, a little short, So. If we're pure, If we're ever pure, like that baby, if we're ever that innocent, if we're ever that lovable, made for love, what happens? What happens? Well, there's a story that I remembered as I was thinking about this talk. This is from the Chicken Soup for the Soul, and it's been around a long time. You may have heard it, but I think the title of it was the Clay Buddha. The story goes that I think it was Jack Canfield and his wife had gone on vacation over in the East. He and his wife were touring Thailand, and they came to a temple, a small temple, and they went inside, and here was this gorgeous golden Buddha, beautiful, magnificent. And they were just in awe of it. And they saw a plaque. And next to the plaque or on it, something like that, there was a big chunk of dried dirt, clay, you know, just sitting there. So they started reading the plaque, which was the story of the Golden Buddha, or story about the Golden Buddha. It seemed that several centuries before, the monks who had lived in that temple learned of an invasion that was supposed to be happening. The enemy was coming, and they became very concerned about their Golden Buddha because extremely valuable, and they knew that it would be stolen. So they decided to disguise the Buddha by putting mud all over it, clay, mud, and packed that sucker so that it was unrecognizable as the Golden Buddha. All you saw, it looked like a Buddha, but it was looked like a dirt or clay Buddha. Well, their plan worked really well. Every one of them, though, was killed in that invasion, and so the secret of the Golden Buddha died with those monks. So here's this Golden Buddha hidden for a couple of centuries at least, and the story went on that at some point the monks who lived in the temple needed to move the Buddha. I think a highway was coming through and they needed to rearrange things. And so they had this big equipment in trying to move this very, very heavy Buddha. And something was kind of shifting and tilting and it cracked. So the I don't know the title of the main monk, but the leader anyway said, stop. Stop what you're doing. We need to figure out what we're going to do here. Because they did not want to destroy the Buddha, certainly. So they went inside, and later in the evening, one of the monks saw that it had started to rain, and he went outside to check on the Buddha to make sure it was going to be safe. And with his light, his flashlight or whatever it was he was carrying, he was shining the light, looking it all over, and he saw something shiny in the crack, coming from the crack, and he couldn't figure out what that was. So the next morning, he told the other monks about it. They went out and they started chipping and chipping and chipping and look. And lo and behold, as they chipped away, all the clay fell off, and there was the Golden Buddha. It's a true story. According to Jack Canfield in Chicken Soup for the Soul. But how amazing! And I think it's just a beautiful metaphor for us. What changes? We keep mud on ourselves. We keep hiding ourselves. You know, the truth that we all do have that hidden light, that divinity that is within each and every one of us. But as we go along, Don Miguel Ruiz talks about agreements, and so when your caregivers, when somebody that you respect as children says something to you, you believe it, good or bad. So if this caregiver says, you are so clumsy, oh, that was a stupid thing to do, what are you thinking? All of that becomes mud, dirt that we pack on. We take it, and we just keep adding on to what's already there. Every time that we have these self-destructive thoughts, or something rises up that they came from our history. I love the time element of this music. All of that can contribute to the clay Buddha of us, you know, the not letting our true natures shine through. We as humans, I think, tend to think of ourselves as these bodies. This is the real self of me. We depend on our five senses. The truth, though, is that we are human beings, and we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have beliefs, but what we are is truth, truth with a capital T. And what we are is that we are divine creations of the Most High. That is what we are. Are we made for love? Yes, absolutely. Well, how do we love everyone? This commandment, how do we love everyone? In my opinion, it is as we know this about ourselves and each other, that each of us has this light inside of us, this divinity within us, that we remember that. Namaste is the recognition of the divine in me salutes and honors the divine in you. If we can remember namaste, that's how we love everybody. Loving someone doesn't mean you bring them to your house on every Thursday to feed them. That, I mean, maybe it does, but loving everyone, I believe, the way Jesus meant it, was you recognize and honor the divine in every single person. And we can do that. So how do we do that? We recognize the divine in others. That's how we are made for love. And then I might say we were also made as love, because what we do for with ourselves, we recognize that light that we are, we recognize the truth of who and what we are, and we consistently and as regularly as we can get rid of the dirt, get rid of the clay, wash it off, get rid of from our minds. You know, we talked about this with Easter, with the crossing out of those things that don't work for us anymore, the rising above any idea of limitation. We can use the Easter message, and we can use this commandment to love one another and to let our light so shine. God bless you. So let's follow the guidance of our master teacher and way shower as we begin to prepare for meditation and to experience our lights within. In preparation, let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer as we were taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also are lead us in temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so let's begin to relax, to let go, to become fully present in this place, in this moment. We relax our bodies. We slow and quiet our bodies and our minds. We might close our outer eyes. You might remember that picture of the beautiful child, that infant. You might picture a light, but hold some image in your awareness of truth. We come together with like-minded people, our spiritual brothers and sisters, to help us remember we can be the bumper guards for each other as we walk on these paths, so that we stay right in the center. We see and know the truth for each other and of each other. Truth that has nothing to do with our appearance, nothing to do with the kind of car we drive, the house we live in, the job we have. The truth that is the recognition, the honoring, and the celebration of that divine power, that divine light, the Christ that is in each one of us, that is each one of us in expression. And so on this morning, as we are gathered with others of like mind, we take this time to slow enough to really begin to imagine that younger self, that tiny baby that you once were, that purity, that love. And then, as almost from a remote location, we can see how maybe dirt began to fall around the child, around the baby, so that their beauty and their purity and their magnificence began to be disguised. We all have had this experience. And to some degree, we believe some of that dirt is supposed to be there. We believe some of it is true, that this is the way we were made. But in this moment, on this day, at this time, I invite you to stand up mentally and to clear everything that the dirt is a metaphor for. Clear your bodies from anything that is not like goodness. Clear your mind of everything that is not like goodness. See yourself, mentally picture yourself as you are right now. See yourself in your mind's eye. And imagine that there is a glow that comes from the very center of you, and it expands outward. You are seeing yourself radiating light and love in your mind's eye. This is truth. This is who you are. Let's take a few moments in silence to experience this, to see the light, to feel the light, to be love in the silence. And we celebrate. We celebrate our remembering. We celebrate our rising up, our overcoming. We celebrate our purity, our light, our love. And we hold fast to this image of our true selves, so that as we go forward from today out into the world. We hold this with us. We shine our light, our love on everything and everyone we see. And just imagine if all of us are spreading this light, how much more quickly we as humankind become love in expression. We are celebrating, we are grateful. We are so eternally grateful for, number one, for the awareness of the truth of us. For number two, of the experience of being able to be that love in the world. And most especially, the knowing of this truth and practicing it, embracing it, being it, we are grateful for the opportunity. We claim this, we know it to be so, and we declare it so, gratefully. And it is so, we let it be, and amen. Thank you, God.